Well, we are going to look to this morning or this afternoon at the millennium. But before we read a few passages of Scripture, we might just speak to God in prayer. Our God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank Thee for Thy great love that Thou didst send Thy Son into this world to bleed and to suffer and die. And Father, we think of the program that Thou didst establish before the world began, that there would be that reign of Christ upon this world, that there would be that reign of righteousness, that time would be marked by the righteous rule of Christ. We pray that Thou guide us. We look into that topic this afternoon. Our Lord Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Now, there are many passages of Scriptures that we could read related to the millennium, but I've just chosen three. The first one is in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 tells us about the establishment of the millennial reign of Christ. Revelation chapter 20, beginning from verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, they sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, shall reign with him 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The end of verse 4. And they shall live, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The end of verse 6. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is where we get the expression, the millennium. The word millennium does not appear in your Bible. But the word 1,000 years appears these two times here in Revelation. And it talks about the establishment of the reign of Christ upon this earth. And then it tells us that this reign will come to an end. It will come to an end in rebellion, when men and women on the world will rise up in rebellion against Christ. Now let's take a look at that next passage that I'd like to read with you. This is a way over in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. In Jeremiah chapter 23, I would like to start at verse 3. Now, this is God speaking. And he's speaking to the children of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah. and I, that's God, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. And then a final portion I'd like to read in the book of Isaiah, and this is Isaiah chapter 65. So we're looking at the end of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 65, and reading from verse 19. And this is again God speaking. He's speaking to the children of Israel through Isaiah the prophet. And I, that's God, says, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner shall be 100 years old, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. We believe that the Lord will bless to us the reading of His precious Word. When we read through the Word of God, we find that the different prophecies of the Word of God emphasize certain features of the millennium. When we read through and we come to the book of Zechariah, the book of Zechariah climaxes with the coming of the Messiah to establish His kingdom. We were to read through the book of Jeremiah. The climax of Jeremiah's prophecy is the fact that the Messiah, the Lord, will be in the midst of His people. In the midst of His people, He will bless the people. We read through the prophecy of Isaiah, we would find that the climax of the prophecy of Isaiah is the blessings that come during the millennium. Those blessings that will reach out to the people of God. Then when we come to the prophecy of Ezekiel, and you read through the prophecy of Ezekiel in relation to the millennium, you'll find that the climax of Ezekiel's prophecy is the worship that shall come to the Lord Jesus Christ in that day. That all worship will be directed towards him. As I was looking at this topic of the millennium, it seemed to me and it helped me by having a number of questions in my mind as to what should be answered. And so I'd like to just go through some of these questions and see what we can glean from them by these questions. First of all, what do we mean by the millennium? Now, that's probably the topic, the title, the words that you've heard many times in the past. I've explained to you, millennium just means 1,000. And it refers always to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But as we read through the scriptures in connection with the millennium, you will find that in the Old Testament, they don't use the word 1,000 years, nor do they use the word millennium. The word they use is in that day. And so if you read through these prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Micah, they speak of that day, that coming day, when the Messiah shall reign. Now really, the millennium is really an Old Testament promise of God's blessings to the children of Israel. As we read through the Word of God, the Scriptures do not make clear what part the church will have in the millennium. What part we who have trusted Christ in this day of grace will have in that during that millennial reign is not clearly stated. It's yet a mystery for us. But we do know from the Word of God that where Christ is, there we shall be also. And so, since Christ is in the midst of the city, we'll be there. And we do know, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, could say, we shall reign with him. And so those are two clues as to where we will be during the millennium. We'll be with Christ, and he will give us positions of responsibility. And that's about as far as we can go. But it's the truth here is that, and the Lord has emphasized over and over again, particularly in the prophecy of Jeremiah, that he has scattered them, and he has placed them in certain locations. And it is not, and so he is emphasizing, it's not an accident that God's people are in certain places. It's not an accident that you live here in Winnipeg, and that you are part of this assembly. That's not an accident. That's according to the plans and the will of God. And God, the Lord, speaking to the children of Israel, emphasized that fact. I have put them in that place, and I know where they are, and I will gather them up, and I will bring them back. And so, there's coming that day when God will reach forth, and he will gather the people of Israel back to the land of promise. Well, now, that brings us to the question, when will the millennium occur? When will it be established? Well, you know, when you look at the Word of God, you'll find that there's no date given that on such and such a date, in year 2015, the millennium will be established. Or the year 2030, it will be established. There is no date given. In fact, if you read through the Old Testament, you'll find that in the book of Zechariah, it says, that shall be a day which the Lord God knows only. And when we come to the New Testament, we find that the Lord speaking, and he says, that's a day which no man knoweth except the Father. But, you know, we know from reading the Word of God that it could be occurring in the year 2018. 8 years hence from now. It could be established. If we really appreciated the fact that the Lord is coming, and He's going to come, and He's going to gather believers unto Himself, and then God is going to reach forward and start the clock timing again, and He's going to begin to deal with Israel. And they're going to come, and we read through Revelation, we find for a period of 7 years, God is going to deal with this world, and He's going to bring back Israel to the land of promise. But we, as we read through the Word of God, we find that there are certain events that are going to happen before the millennial kingdom occurs. And so, first of all, there are events going to happen in heaven. There are heavenly events. And the first heavenly event that will happen will be the rapture. All believers will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then, in the heaven, there will be the judgment seat of Christ, when the Lord will reward each believer, each one of us, for the things we have done for Him, that He will reward us. And then, following the judgment seat of Christ, we will move into the marriage supper of the Lamb. We were to read in Revelation chapter 19, it speaks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it speaks of the fact that the believers, each believer, will be robed in garments of righteousness, clean linen garments. Speaking of the fact that the judgment seat of Christ has already passed. And now they've come into the marriage supper of the Lamb. When the marriage supper of the Lamb is completed, Christ will come forth on this world. But while those events are going on in heaven, while the judgment seat of Christ is going on, while the marriage supper of the Lamb is going on, things are happening on the earth. And God is dealing with this earth. And we find, as we read from Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 8, we have the great tribulation. It's coming on, and a man is going to come in and pretend, and he's going to try to convince the people that he is the Christ. He'll be the false prophet. He'll be the man of sin, and with him will be the false prophet. And at the end of that 7 years, there will be the return of Christ to this earth. He'll step upon this earth. And when He steps upon this earth, He will step that He might redeem His people Israel from the judgments that are coming upon Him. And as God judges this world, and as the Son of God comes and He redeems His people at that last moment, then there will be that Satan will be captured. And we read about that in Revelation chapter 20. And Satan is taken, and he is bound, and he's put in the bottomless pit. And then we find from Matthew chapter 25 that there's a judgment of the nations. And God, the Lord, will bring before Him all nations, and each individual in that nation will be judged. They will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord will separate them. And He gives us an illustration. Just as the shepherd will separate his sheep from his goats, He will separate the people. Those who have trusted in Christ. During that tribulation period, those who have trusted in Christ. Those who are still living who have rejected Christ. And those who have trusted Christ will be brought in to the millennial kingdom of Christ. Well, now this brings, and it's after the judgment of the nations that the kingdom is established. Why is God establishing that kingdom? Why will that kingdom of 1,000 years be established? Well, we read from Romans chapter 8, and verses 19 to 22, that millennial kingdom is going to be established to redeem creation. Creation that now groans because they are under the punishment that is being meted out to men and women because of their rejection and because of their sin. The creation will be redeemed. We read as well that that the millennial kingdom will be established to reward the saints of God. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, it says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. And behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him." And in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, it says, the Lord is speaking, He says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to the work his work shall be." So the Lord's coming to reward those who are living on the earth at that day. Those who are living today have already received their reward before the millennial kingdom. That's at the judgment seat of the Christ. But the Lord is coming when He establishes His kingdom to that. But then we find as well that the Lord is coming to establish His kingdom that He might fulfill the promises He gave to Abraham and to David. Way back in Genesis chapter 12, God gave a promise to Abraham that in Abraham shall all nations of the world be blessed. The fulfillment of that promise waits a millennium. To David in 2 Samuel, God gave this promise that his son will sit on the throne continually or forever. That son is the Lord Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of that is awaiting the millennium. But now we come to the next question. Where will the millennial kingdom be established? You know, that always used to puzzle me because I would read about the holy city, Jerusalem, and I'd read about the size of it, and I would wonder, well, where would they put a kingdom like a city like that? Well, then when we read through the Word of God, we find in Ezekiel chapter 47, God tells them about the kingdom. Where will it be established? And He tells them that that kingdom will stretch from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River. From the River of Egypt to the Euphrates. And then we read in the book of Joshua, and God speaking to Joshua in Joshua 1 and 4, He says, it'll be from the wilderness of Sinai unto Lebanon, to the river Euphrates, and all of that land in between. And so, as we look at this, we see that really the land that which will encompass the millennial kingdom is all the land that God promised to Abraham so many years ago. And really, they never really became possessions of it. Under the reign of David and Solomon, they almost reached those borders, but not quite. But in that day, it'll be fulfilled. And that promise was given to Abraham. It was reaffirmed to Jacob, then to Isaac, then to Moses, and then to Joshua, that God would set the kingdom up in those things. Well, now we come to the next question we have here, and it says, what will the millennium be like? What will that reign be like? Well, I mentioned as well that creation will be redeemed from corruption. We know that all creation today We know that plants wither and die. We know that the animals that walk this earth, they die. We know that some animals prey on other animals and they bring about death. And when we read in Romans chapter 8, we read that the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting when God, when the children of God, the bride of Christ, shall come to this earth and shall be glorified. They're waiting for that day when the millennial kingdom is established. And I read in Isaiah how they... I might just read that verse again. We'll look at it and it says, "And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together." Now anyone who keeps sheep today know that the wolf and the lamb will never lie down together. The only time that they would be lying there would be if the lamb was dead and the wolf was devouring it. And then he goes on and he says, "And the lion shall eat straw like cattle." And then he says, "The serpent shall feed upon dust. No more poisonous snakes to bite the people. No more there." And then Isaiah, he goes on and he says, "I shall see." And I think of the people of that go into that millennium. And if I was going into that millennium, I would no longer need these glasses to see you people in the audience, nor to see what I have written on my Bible. "I shall see, ears shall hear." No longer will people need hearing aids to be able to see. "And the lame shall walk." No more canes will be needed. No more walkers. "And the dumb shall speak." No more people having problems speaking. They'll speak and you'll understand what they say. "And nature shall blossom." When you think of the land of the millennial kingdom, much of it is desert. He said, and he emphasizes that part of that millennial kingdom will be the Sinai. Well, the Sinai is a desert. Nothing blooms on the Sinai. Unless you have an oasis, you have no greenery in the Sinai. And it says that that'll bloom. It'll be blooming. Plants will be growing. And then he says, and I've already mentioned about the wolf and the lamb eating together. And the whole of the book of Isaiah is emphasizing over and over again the blessings of that day of the millennium. Blessings that go out not only to the people of God, but to all of creation. Now we come down to a question. Who will be a part of the kingdom? Who is going to be part of that kingdom? Well, it is a physical kingdom. It's going to be a reality. It is going to be a physical kingdom set up in this world for Israel. And Israel, and the Lord has emphasized, "I will gather them out of all the countries I have scattered them in." And in Jeremiah chapter 3, he says, "I will pick one from here, and one from there, and one from this country, and one from that country, one from this city, one from that city, one from this family, and one from that family." And God is emphasizing the fact it's going to be a remnant. There's only going to be a remnant that will turn to the Messiah. He's going to bring them into the kingdom. And then, as we read in Revelation chapter 19, there's an innumerable, Revelation chapter 20, there's innumerable company of people who during the millennial period will trust in God. And to them will be attributed the work of Christ. And it was says of them that they have cleansed themselves in the blood of the Lamb. And that innumerable company of people will be gathered into the kingdom. And they will be a part of that kingdom. And they will rejoice in it. And then, of course, there's you and I. And you and I will be a part of that kingdom. Why? Because we have trusted Christ in this day. And He will be the main part, the emphasis, the center of that kingdom. And where He is, we shall be also. And then, when I think of that kingdom, the most important part of that kingdom is the fact that the Lord shall be there. The Lord will be a part of that kingdom. And when we read through the book of Jeremiah, the Lord emphasizes over and over again that in that kingdom, in that day, the Messiah shall be a part, shall be in the center. And unto Him, and it's a full, and it's looks back to what Jacob, as he blessed Judah, and he says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And there we have the Messiah in the midst. I read that chapter in Jeremiah chapter 23. And Jeremiah chapter 3 is a prophecy that was given to one of the kings. You see, during the prophecy of Jeremiah, there were three kings. There was one king, Josiah. Josiah was a righteous man. Josiah was one who served God, as did David, his father. One of the few kings that ruled in Judah that God says he served God with all his heart, as did David, his father. And to that man, Josiah, God gave a promise that the kingdom would be established. And to him, to the Lord in the midst, the people would be gathered. And then there's the man, Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim reigned, and I'll come back to him in a minute. And then there was Zechariah. And Zechariah reigned, and Zechariah really didn't want to be on the throne. Zechariah wanted to listen to Jeremiah, but he was afraid of the people. And the fear of the people caused him to do things that were not pleasing to God. And God gave a promise that there would come a king who would reign in righteousness, and his word would be the word that is accepted in the kingdom. But we read of a man by the name of Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim, from his very youngest days, demonstrated a rebellious spirit in him. From a very small child, he had a rebellious spirit. And that rebellious spirit was allowed to blossom and to flourish. And we find that later on, when he became king, he squandered all the resources that God had given him to on pleasures. And Solomon himself said, I went in for pleasures and I found it empty. Vanity. And then that rebellious spirit, as he got older, there came that day when he took the word of God and he cut it up and he burnt it before the people. God brought judgment against that man. And God said, that man will never, ever have a son sitting on the throne. And so when you come to Matthew chapter 1, you find Joseph is a descendant of this man, Jehoiakim. And Joseph has no son to sit on the throne. Solemn, God brought that judgment to pass. Well, to this man, God gave a promise to the people of Israel that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come, that the Messiah would come, and He would establish His kingdom, and there would be certain things that would mark the people of that kingdom. First of all, they would be a restored people. A remnant of the children of Israel will be redeemed. But then He says they will be made strong through prosperity. That the things they did with their hands would be right. That those who were craftsmen would build... I was thinking of carpentry, but building a cabinet, it would come out right the first time. God would bring it to pass. They would prosper. And then He says their emotional needs will be met. And they will be spiritually strengthened. And then He says in that day, their people, their faith would be steadfast, and would be centered in the Messiah. And then He says to them, they will appreciate the Messiah in a special way. And you think of their appreciation of Him. And it tells us what they call Him. The Lord, our righteousness. And that is a name which we, many commentaries, your margins often give you a link and they say, that's the expression, Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord, our righteousness. And then it says they will be a people of remembrance. They will always remember what God had done for them. And God goes on and He says, and I will raise up a righteous branch. When we look at this, we see that the Lord, that God is going to present the Messiah in three different ways in that day. First of all, He's going to be presented as a righteous branch. That's the idea of a priest. And the priest was one whose delight would be in the law of God. He was that one who would stand between the people and God. And then He's going to be presented as a king. The king. And the king was the one who was going to execute judgment and righteousness in the kingdom. And then He was going to be presented as a prophet. He would tell, He will proclaim the word of God. When we come to John chapter 17 with the Lord, we find the Lord saying, I have manifested Thy word unto the men whom Thou hast given me. In that day, the Lord will be able to say, I have manifested Thy word unto all peoples. Unto all peoples. And you think of that title, the Lord, our righteousness. It has a special meaning. It means a lot. First of all, we have the word the Lord. And that really means Jehovah. And it describes the personal God. It's saying the eternal one who is concerned about everything that happens to you. That's the Messiah on the throne. Then it says our. The Lord our. And our points to His humanity. The one sitting on that throne is the one who walked this scene, of whom it says that He was in all points tempted like unto us, yet without sin. He knows everything that happens to us. He knows what we need. He knows the things that we need before we ask. And then it says, our righteousness. And this has the idea of the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It points to His deity, but it points to His life upon this earth. That John the Baptist, looking at him, said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And those disciples, they watched him. They examined his life. And after having examined his life and watching him, John the Apostle, he could write of him and said, "In him is no sin. He's righteous." And Peter, after examining, says, "He did no sin. He's righteous. He's a righteous one." And the Apostle Paul, writing later of him, said, "He knew no sin. He's a righteous one." And as you read through these, in the Jeremiah chapter 23, it says of him, "He shall be called the Lord our righteousness." And it's emphasizing to us the character of the Messiah. He's righteous. But if we were to read the passage in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 16, it says, "She shall be called the Lord our righteousness." And it's referring to the people of God in the city of Jerusalem. And there it's emphasizing that the blessings and the glory that shall come to the people of God in that millennial kingdom. And from them shall radiate out the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah spoke of that twice over. And he says that he has clothed me with a robe of righteousness, which the righteousness of Christ shall clothe the people of God in that day. And then in chapter 62 of that day, the Gentiles, those without, shall look upon the people of God, and they will see that they are marked by the righteousness of Christ. And so we see that the millennial kingdom will be a time when Christ is preeminent. Now, if you read through Colossians chapter 1, it tries to emphasize the preeminence of Christ. But you know, people today will not acknowledge that. But in that coming day, all people will acknowledge the righteousness of Christ. They will acknowledge the preeminence of Christ in all affairs. And you think of that glorious day that's coming. And it could be coming within the next 8 years, 7 years. The millennial kingdom may be established. And we may be reigning with Him. We might speak to the Lord in prayer. Our God and loving Heavenly